Are you looking to simplify homeschooling this year? The heart behind Homeschool Made Simple is that learning should be enjoyed. We teach our simple and inexpensive approach to education in the resources available in our online store. During our summer sale, you can get 25% off any purchase of $75 or more when you use coupon code ENJOY at checkout. Visit homeschoolmadesimple.net/store and learn how to give your kids an educational experience that keeps curiosity alive. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. And I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. This week, Carol and I return to our conversation with Nicole Brion to get into the role of creativity in education and how she herself has delved into a creative project of her own in making a magazine called Lovely Bits. We talk about the role of imagination and beauty in the Christian life and how important this is to homeschooling our kids as well. Before we get into the episode, are you ready to jump in and learn more about the Homeschool Made Simple approach? We've bundled our essential teachings together to create the HMS Essentials Bundle. In it, we'll teach you everything you need to know about our approach from the elementary years through high school graduation. This bundle includes four key audio resources, a return to our roots of greatness, a literature-based approach to education, begin with the end in mind, and the homeschooling interview. The HMS Essentials Bundle will help you set a solid foundation for homeschooling simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably in every season of life. And the more than 20 pages of book lists will point you toward the resources that we love most. Use coupon code PODCAST at checkout to receive 15% off your order. Visit our online store, homeschoolmadesimple.net/store, to get the HMS Essentials Bundle today. Now let's get into the episode.
Like Mark Twain defined education as travel, like education is travel. And so when an expat lands on a foreign shore, I'm like, oh my word, that country is now your oyster. And Europe is so small. Like in a couple hours, you're in another country. It's not like you're in California and you need to get to Europe and it's like takes 2 days. No, it's all right there. But you know what? Americans have a lot of those same riches and we need to learn from the expats. Like, I don't know anything about Montana. I've never been there. Tell me the history of Montana, right? You know, it's not that far away. So
when you homeschool, I think sometimes we're the ones that put the boundaries or the walls up. And I think that it might be a good practice, no matter where you're living, even if you're living in the tiniest town, just look at things from a fresh perspective. Just finding the beauty where you are. You know, when I lived in New York City, I was still homeschooling. And, you know, we were surrounded by buildings. And so, you know, one thing that I always set out to do is just to find, you know, things that stimulated us.
Pockets.
Yeah, just anything. I mean, because if you find it delightful, then your children can sense that. And, you know, they don't think, oh, it's us that put, we put up this like kind of barrier. Oh, this is all nothing. Not to your children, you know. It's actually something to your children.
True.
You know, also visiting neighbors and just speaking with our neighbors and learning from them and hearing their stories. I think it's something that my generation has lost because there's so much to learn from those who have gone before us and the stories. And that's history, you know, and also developing emotional intelligence in a world that's so, you know, technical these days where everything is through the phone. I think, you know, the Lord can use anyone to bless your family and just open the door and open the opportunity. Just be curious.
Yeah, I'm thinking my family and I just went on a little trip 4 hours down the road, but we passed a Revolutionary War battleground and like multiple actually and different places and went to the beach and we were there for less than 24 hour trip. And we get on the elevator and my kids are just like erupting because they are riding on an elevator. Like what you're saying about, yes. It doesn't take a lot to really make a child's day. Like it doesn't take much. So it's the littlest things. And if you just have that delight and you're like fostering it and give them space to have it.
That's right. Yes.
It really doesn't take a lot. Like we can build these things up. Oh, I've got to now take my family to Europe. But it's like people have lived everywhere that we're living. Mm. And that's what history is. It's the story of people. It's the story of places and what has happened.
Right.
And I think that is just the most beautiful thing. It's, we've been programmed to think history is dry facts and is boring. And who would care about history anyway?
Mm. Mm. Amen.
You know, if you don't care about people's lives, why would anyone care about yours then? You are the future's history. Like what is happening now and the way we live. And it's so lovely to learn about the way that people lived, and you get this perspective. So it's, and you just get to learn what's at your front door or within a certain radius.
That's
of
right. Your, yeah.
You don't have to have a bunch of money. You can just tag along on a little trip or take a day trip and pack a picnic, and you know, you can do it on a shoestring.
That's right.
But I think it's really like you're saying, that curiosity. The people mm-hmm. that live around you, and also the people who were there in the past who can still speak to you through what is left. Monuments, mm-hmm. graves, historical mm-hmm. markers, mm-hmm. books, all those things. Mm-hmm. Bring it to life.
Yes.
So, Nicole, what books have really sparked your family's imagination? Where have you really bonded?
So books for myself or that I read to the children?
Well, primarily with the children, but I we're open to anything, right, Rach?
We are.
We'll take anything you want to tell us.
Well, yeah, I don't want to disappoint, but the Moors. So I'm very careful with guarding my mind.
Yes.
And so I try not to receive. I'm in a season now in the last few years where I've learned sometimes the less information I have, the better, because when I know too much, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It blocks out the voice of the Lord when it comes with regards to like, you know, raising the children. Like I've gotten the basics. When I was first a mother, I was reading because, you know, being a mother wasn't something that came naturally to me, and homeschooling wasn't something that came naturally to me either. But I've learned now to keep the voices, you know, just quiet the voices. So
silence the voices.
Yeah.
Erin Cabin, one of our board members, says. Yeah.
That's right. And so the Moors, you know, I read the same books over and over. I think it's important
to
do that. You know, we live in a culture that always wants new books, but I am a firm believer of rereading and rereading and rereading, because when you read, you know, when you look at the cultures from the past, the societies from the past, they would recite and reread the same classics. And they would talk about the same classics, and they would recite the same, you know, quotes exactly to each other, and they would discuss the quotes. And so that could only happen through repetitive reading. And so I think that's really important. But the Moors have been absolutely I have two of their books.
Impactful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What resonated with you when you first read them? And Rachel, how old were you when you first read the Moors book? Mm. You were both young women.
Yeah, 26.
With maybe babies. Mm-hmm. Were you both?
I maybe actually 25. Found out about the Moors through you, so about 5 years ago.
So Chloe was maybe 4 years old at
yeah.
the time?
Just about.
Okay,
yeah.
So your firstborn was four. And Rachel, you, poor thing, you've been under my tutelage since you were in college. So
yeah.
She probably was reading about the Moors before she was engaged. But anyway, so what grabbed you, ladies? What resonated? Why should a young woman listening while she's driving down the car with her baby, talking loudly in her car seat, what about the Moors why should she read their books? Aren't they dead? Like, why?
There are certain truths that withstand, you know, just time. And so I appreciate that everything that was shared was not experimental. It was facts. It was all facts.
Mm. Facts being verified how?
Through studies with time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, research.
Time, research, exactly. Like, time mm-hmm. is an essential part of testing to see what's what really works or not. And I think that
that's
most
right.
of the things that are being implemented in the educational system in our society today is all experimental, and no
so
one is questioning
true.
It. We're all living in a lie. We're all guinea pigs, essentially.
Yeah.
We're all lab rats, right. And so I love the tone of respect that the Moores have for children.
Mm.
And secondly, just, when you look at America, we Americans are very, kind of boastful. We don't have the facts to back it up. We just don't. And so when you look at our literacy rates, when you look at our also our social and so many things. And then when I look at, for instance, my generation of millennials, right? And the generation before myself, you're now kind of seeing that the experiment didn't pan out so well, And so what I appreciated about the Moores is that it was just common sense, A child, you're right. No, a child should not at 3 or 4, be pushed to learn and to perform. And, that will have traumatic effects down the line for the child. Now, as an outsider looking into my own country, I can now see that there is a very big problem with Americans and performance. They literally don't know how to live. Everything is about producing. Everything.
And appearances.
And
keeping
appearances.
Up appearances.
And it's because it starts, this indoctrination starts from very, very young. Very young.
Yeah.
And
why is it that millennials want to take a picture of the meal before you eat it?
Right. That is so weird.
Does anyone in Italy do that?
No.
Is that just
I love when I came across an interview, Carolina Herrera, her daughter interviewed her, and she said, we've lost our air of mystery. Why on earth? I don't want to see what you eat or what you're doing every minute. Who cares?
And the other thing is, eating is to be a sensory experience. Why are we taking a picture while it's getting cold of a beautiful meal?
That's right.
When we should be eating the meal, right? Smelling it.
That causes indigestion, honestly.
Yes.
It really does. The French and the Italians would never have a phone by them when they eat because they're too busy eating with someone else, a family member, and being present.
Right.
And, they're not trying to biohack their lives. They're just living. They're just living normal lives.
Exactly.
And so, what I'm even more so learning now is that truly when we come from a culture that's so performance-based, it might work seemingly, for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and then somewhere along the lines, things start to get really hairy, and then you see fractures in character, in mental well-being, on and so forth. And and as a Christian, we are firstly raising up children that are citizens of the kingdom, not of the world. And when you're raising your child the way that the world is raising them to perform, then that's your idol.
Mm. Wow.
Then homeschool becomes your idol. Performance becomes your idol. When you're trying to get math done before you're actually praying with your family, then that's your idol. When you're still run down and you've not filled up your cup with spending time with the Lord because you're pushing yourself to homeschool and you're not cultivating relationships with your children, that's because homeschool's become your idol. That's because you are on that performance wheel.
We're taking a break from the episode to let you know that Vogtberg Music Academy is celebrating its 10-year anniversary by giving you your first month of access for just $10. Weekly video lessons and PDFs, live coaching workshops, student showcases, a community to share your progress with, seasonal challenges, and competitions. And it's just $10 to get started. Use our code HOMESCHOOL10 so they know we sent you and get started with either piano, guitar, fiddle, or ukulele. VMA teachers will hop on a live call with you to help you get your violin in tune, change a string on your guitar, or get you polished up for an upcoming performance.
Thousands of students from ages 5 to 75, including my 8-year-old daughter, have used Voteberg Music Academy to learn their favorite piano, guitar, fiddle, or ukulele song. After just one lesson, you will be playing a song your whole family can enjoy. Also, the Votebergs are all about families learning together, so they encourage you to get one membership and have siblings learn together or parents join along. Check the link below and use our code HOMESCHOOL10 at checkout to get your first month of VMA for just $10. Now let's get back to the show.
Well, I'm just thinking that, I mean, yeah, I think that probably what resonated with me about the Moores or the books that I read, especially in the early days, like when I, probably 6 years ago, when maybe my oldest two were 3 and 1, I read Dumbing Us Down by John Taylor Gatto, which is all about how the school system is just industrialized. And I think that that is really, that's a big part of what resonated with me, because the industrial model is not something that I want to integrate into. And so I had already pretty much like rejected that model in other ways, in food. And I mean, I still shop at the grocery store, but, you know, had just become skeptical of it as like a wholesale, this is the best way that we should do things, you know, bigger, better, like you're saying, homogenized. And the reason you get homogenized results is because you're put through this machine that cuts off the edges and then doesn't let an organic thing come out, you know? And so, and it's actually really hard to let your kids be who they are, because like you said, you're a unique person. Your husband's a unique person, and God chose who each child was, and you didn't choose them. And they might be people that you wouldn't naturally get along with, that I wouldn't choose this child as my best friend, but they're my child. And so I get to love them and live with them and lay down my life for them and learn about who they are and figure out how to be a part of that like birthing process to see them out into the world. And so you can like have that grinding. In some ways, it's easier to cut off the edges and just say, I'm going to, you know, medicate you. I'm going to force you into this mold. And after that forcing work is done, then it's like the child, they just go along more so. But then you have these explosions later when they're teens and young adults, and you're like, why are they rejecting everything that we did? They didn't feel seen as a person and known as a person and allowed to be their own person. And so I think that's part of it is harder to be organic and to, you know, it's a dance, and that's why you have to be receptive, like you said. And, you know, it's harder, I feel like, in that sense. It is easier in some ways to just say, fit the mold, bend the edges, whatever comes off is, who cares? You know, it's lost to us. But there is definitely a cost to that on the back end. So it just depends like what cost you want to put into it and what result you want to have with your kids.
And for creative and gifted children, I think that's the worst of all for those kids, because they are, just like you said, you're getting crushed into a suitcase and the arm and the sleeve is sticking out. So you just cut the sleeve and the arm off with a big pair of scissors because they don't fit the, you know, just do this, do this, do this. And then you'll go to this school and then you'll get this job and then you'll marry this trophy wife and whatever it's going to be. And creative kids are like Lollapalooza. They're all over the place and it doesn't work. And so you're killing the creativity, and the universities and the corporate structure are saying Americans have lost their creativity. Well, why have they lost their creativity? Because we have bred children that are not allowed to be creative. All children are creative. You've never met a child that isn't creative. But after years of having their arms and sleeves, you know, cut off and from the suitcase, then we're left with these amoebas that have no personality, no imagination. So that leads me to the magazine that Nicole. We're talking to a very creative person. And, you know, Nicole, it's interesting. Rachel and I both have art backgrounds in our education. My son was an art major in his undergraduate degree. So we're a bunch of artists sitting here, right? That was my degree. Rachel was in architecture. So talk to us about how the Lord laid this on your heart briefly, and then what is the goal of your beautiful, elegant magazine? What have you sent it out into the world to accomplish?
Wow. Thank you, Carol. Coming from you.
Oh, it's true. I'm not making this up.
Because you are a lady of very good taste, I will tell you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And I'm sure everyone listening to this would agree. So one of the benefits of having lots of quiet and margin in your day is that you get to hear the voice of the Lord. And so one day I hear the Lord essentially say, you're going to start a magazine. And I thought it was actually ridiculous because I have no experience in journalism or making a magazine. It's not my expertise. And so then the Lord just one day just this outpouring from heaven just came in with inspiration. He gave me exact directions for how creatively what it would look like and which verses mm-hmm. to use and which artwork and who would write. It was just, I mean, it was only, all that I can say it was just heaven. It was from God. It has absolutely nothing to do with me. But I'm just an open, I'm just a vessel. Mm-hmm. And so I don't take any credit for it because I do believe that, I don't know how I did it. And so all that I can say is that it was the Holy Spirit. And the goal is to fish for souls. And I do believe that beauty, people will definitely fight you on what is truth, right? Because in our day, many believe that truth is subjective, right? Mm-hmm. They can fight you on what they believe is true, even what's good. But when something's beautiful, it's hard to deny that something is beautiful. And so I'm using beauty to evangelize. In the secular world, there's so much beauty. And I think that the best should belong to God. That's just my belief. I believe that the creator of all beauty should be honored with the best. And I think that the secular world has no business, overshadowing what is God's. And my goal is to use beauty to point to God and to glorify God. You know, it's like I heard the Lord tell me, he said, it needs to be beautiful enough for a Danish person to want to look through it. You know, because in Denmark, they're very into the aesthetics, but they don't really like God much. You know, this idea of God.
All right. Well, I want to tell you something. So when I was growing up, I always worked in the fashion industry. And I worked, my first real job was working for Betsy Johnson at her boutique called Paraphernalia. Don't recommend it. But anyway, that was my first job. And I always worked in the fashion industry. Okay. So I remember sitting at my family kitchen table. My mom was cooking, and I had a big, back then they were very, very big, edition, the new edition of Vogue magazine. Mm. And I said to my mother, this is my Bible. Now, of course, I was totally church. I mean, I just knew nothing about really the God of the Bible and the universe, but I told her that. Well, the other day, now this is, maybe 50 years, more than that, 6 years later, 7 years, whatever it is, a long time ago, 6 years later, let's say, I got an ad in the, an envelope in the mail from Vogue magazine, offering me to subscribe to Vogue magazine. And when your magazine came, and I was telling JJ and Kristen about it, I said, okay, this is like a Christian Vogue magazine, right? So Vogue was always the gold standard of photography and design of all magazines in America. It isn't as well cherished in the fashion industry today as it was then, but it was the gold standard. Yeah. And when your magazine came, I was astonished. I had no idea what to expect. And when it came, I'm like, oh my word, or as my daughter-in-law would say, it was legit. Like, so, and it is. So tell us some of the content, like Rachel, and you jump in on this too. What was your first impression?
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It is very elevated and just, you think magazine and you think kind of consumable. But this is something you would keep.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And really, it's like a book that you would keep and hold on right. to and read.
Put on your coffee table.
Yeah, and reference, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what, so talk about, you know, there's incredible photography, beautiful articles, but talk about some of the topics, because you don't, it's not like Christian Woman magazine. But you also don't hide your light under a bushel in this magazine. So how have you walked that fine line?
Yeah. So, you know, I find that there are many beautiful Christian creators and content creators and influencers out there that are Christian, but they are too scared to be forthcoming about their faith because they are afraid that it might hurt their business. Mm. I, on the other hand, believe that if you're... You cannot separate. This is my personal belief. I do not believe that you should separate. God is who I am. He's what I breathe. There could not be a severing of God from what I create. And so I'm very forthcoming. I talk about God like it's just an ordinary thing in the magazine. But I do it tastefully. You know, I'm not holding up big signs like convert. You know, I'm not like being John the Baptist here, you know, where I'm scaring people away.
Not that there's anything wrong with John the Baptist.
No, there isn't something. But he only, you know, he was called to do that. I would probably scare people away, you know.
Right.
They would run for the hills. I would not be converting anyone. It's not my forte.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to do, you know, what I am endeavoring to do under the Lord's direction is to say, hey, you know, we as Christians should be the arbiters of beauty because we are the children of beauty himself. And we should, you know what's going on in the culture. We should be able to speak about to culture. We should know what's going on in art. You know, modern art, most of what we see today that is called art is just a reflection of, you know, how demented we've become, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know,
nihilism.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you look at like a toilet and it's called art, right? And so what I'm trying to just bring a renaissance to what's good, what's true, and what's beautiful, while also still pointing to God. But we can still have these conversations. You know, we can still talk about you know, maximalism or, you know, Marie Antoinette, and just, I mean, she was a real person in history, you know. Mm-hmm. Or we can talk about Christian Dior and how he actually brought back femininity post-World War II. This is a conversation that we can have because if we learn from history, if we learn from what's going on at large, we're able to make better decisions for our children and for our families and our future. And also, when you learn these things and this becomes just a part of your conversation and your home and your culture, you can have these conversations with your children. And that's their homeschool experience. You know, and so I believe that it's all, we don't have to, you know, cut up faith and, I like, you know, and art and culture. No, it should be all embodied. And whatever we should curate very carefully what we bring into our homes, what we consume, what we watch, what we read. Mm. And this is what I'm doing for you in this magazine. I'm just curating what's, you know, I'm just kind of distilling what's, there's so much out there, but I'm just distilling.
Pointing the way.
Right. The good stuff. And yes, you should. You can talk about this stuff. It is good for a woman to be feminine. It is good for a woman to want to be healthy and not, you know, in this kind of like, what is it, like biohacking and just being obsessed with being healthy. No, because the Lord did give us nature, you know, as a gift to ourselves. And we should know how to harness what the Lord has given to us. And history, you know, I believe art is tied to history. I believe fashion is tied to history because it's a reflection of what's going on at large in society.
Definitely.
Definitely. Just like Christian Dior, like one can, you know, easily scoff and say like, oh, that's nonsense. Well, no, actually, it's interesting when you see what was happening at the time, you know, mm-hmm. with humanity, with society, with our, you know, the culture.
The war.
Right. And how, you know, we can look at what we do today and make better decisions for ourselves, having learned from the past or, you know, mm-hmm. learning from what's going on mm-hmm. in the world.
So how did you name the magazine?
So that's an interesting thing. So Lovely Bits, it was something that came from the Lord. And I believe it's Philippians, 4:7 or 6:7, where it says, you know, to ponder on what's good, what's true, what's lovely.
Yes.
Just and so I'm true. Trying to curate lovely bits of life into magazine. Just the lovely bits. There's so, as you said, Carol, there is a lot of darkness out there right now. And it's easy to get caught up, but I think that, you know, the Lord does instruct us to take our thoughts captive and to be very careful with what we allow to enter our hearts and our minds. And so I just want to, you know, just bring some, some refreshment to a very parched soul that's not taking away from the one true God and the Almighty.
Yes. Yeah. So how can our listeners be part of Lovely Bits? Do you have subscriptions? How can they access it?
So we have a weekly newsletter. I publish 1 to 2 articles a week on Substack. These are more current topics that I address. They're very fun and completely, it's the Lord telling me what to write about, kind of regain our, to bring a renaissance to our culture at large. And that's on Substack. And
under what name?
It is under Lovely Bits Magazine.
Okay.
And you can, you can subscribe. And if you're a paid subscriber, you get the magazine mailed to you from Italy. It's printed here in Siena by this lovely, godly family.
It's so beautiful.
Have coffee with them. It's just wonderful. And whenever we print a new batch, I'm actually looking at magazines being printed on Italian paper. It's just amazing. And then also there's a website, lovelybitsmagazine.com, where if you just kind of want to learn more about, you know, magazine, it gives you some, you know, you can see the layout of what the magazine covers, you know, and you can just even purchase it to read it digitally, though I would recommend
definitely embody.
Yeah, get the maggies. It's just, it's beautiful. It's 112 pages. It's it will live
quality
in your, you know, library. It's evergreen material. You know, it's it's limited edition. So I think that if you're someone that enjoys beauty and culture, this is for you.
Mm. So is it released a regular basis? Do you do a new edition or what's kind of
your plan? The magazine is biannual, unless the Lord changes that. Mm-hmm. But it's twice a year. And then if you really want to just maintain, you know, just freshness every week, then Substack is your place.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. All right. Well, I think we've been speaking to a Proverbs 31 woman today, Rachel, who is making belts and weaving cloth, and her household is clothed in purple, and she's bringing her food from afar. Mm-hmm. And so this is a woman who isn't just home in curlers eating potato chips, but she's raising her children in rich environments and also is not just a two-dimensional person. You know, I'm just the little wife, but she has a creative outlet and something that is not taking away from her children, but is enriching the world and her children as well. So this is a wonderful joy to partner with someone who is a kindred spirit, as Anne would say.
Yes.
And we are loving this. So Nicole, do you want to pray for the sweet listeners, male and female?
Yes.
That
absolutely.
You may have sparked something in their lives today. Would you pray for them?
Dear Heavenly Father, you are almighty. There is no one like you, dear God. You are the author of our story, dear God. And so I ask you today for a fresh, Father, just a fresh drink of your water that never runs dry, dear God. Lord, that you would just pour your living waters, dear God, over all of these beautiful families, dear Father. And that, Lord, that they can delight in you because you delight in them, Father. That they can notice even the tiniest ways that you try to communicate with them. And you really are a father of even the tiniest details, dear God. And so we are so fearfully and wonderfully made, dear God. And help us to just steward, Father, our time here on this earth, Father. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. And help us to choose higher, to think higher, to think on the things from above, dear God, even when we are actually meddling with the things here below, dear Lord. You are a God of the ordinary and the extraordinary, Father. And so I just pray that if there was anything that anyone can glean from, Father, that it would be that your yoke is easy and that your burden is light and that you want to talk to them today. And you are not far, you are very near. And so I thank you, dear God. Bless tenfold Carol and Rachel, Father, and this beautiful work that they're doing of just spreading seeds, dear God. May these seeds germinate exponentially, Heavenly Father, and may this become a movement, Lord, and help us to usher in, dear God, a new era in this time of seemingly of bleakness, dear God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray.
Amen. Oh, this has been a joy. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Carol. Thank
Rachel
you.
And I have been feasting today, hanging out with you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.